Denke ich nicht. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Radha Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashodanandana Braja Janarandana Yashodanandana Braja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 राम जय राधे जय कृष्ण जय वृंदावन जय राधे जय कृष्ण जय वृंदावन श्री गोविंद गोपीनाथ मदन मोहना श्री गोविंद श्री गोविंद गोपीनाथ मदन मोहना नित्ताय गौरंग जया नित्ताय गौरंग नित्ताय गौरंग जय नित्ताय गौरंग हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्ताय गौरा हरि बोल हरि बोल హరి గోపావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా వృందావన చంద్ర శ్రీ శ్రీ జగన్నాథ్ బలదేవ సుభద్రా మహారాణి శ్రీ శ్రీ గౌరణతాషి బాలాజీకి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతంకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయా చక్షుః ఉన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోవీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపః కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురుః శ్రీయుత పద కమలం శ్రీ గురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీ రూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సఅద్వైతం సఅవధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగిరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా
भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। As you all know, in the previous several months, I have been doing from some selected sections of this book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, by His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj. Several requests came from various devotees that I can do this book completely without only doing some sections of it. So keeping this in mind, now I am beginning from the introduction, and then we are going to go chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. In the same order. So you have a copy of the book in the folio also available. If you go to Lal Publications, in the, I think it's 29 or 30, I think, item in the folio. Various books by different ISKCON authors. You will get this book there. You can have a soft copy of the book and go through it leisurely. And I found this book very helpful for sadhana bhaktas like me. To get a very good direction in spiritual life, in order to purify the heart and what to do and what not to do, and how to be careful about certain things, and how to not miss out on certain aspects of spiritual life. So it is such a very valuable guide for us. Unfortunately, Maharaj is a disciple of His own, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So practically every page he quotes from Srila Prabhupada, two, three quotes. His Grace Gopi Parananda Prabhu, very great scholar and a pure devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, glorifies Shivaram Swami Maharaj for his authenticity in presentation in the same book preface. He says that everything Shivaram Swami speaks, he keeps the basis as Srila Prabhupada's purports and letters and everything. So that's what I found it very valuable. Something very authentic, very logically presented by him, which I am taking in my spiritual life and trying to apply some of the teaching. So today we are just beginning from the introduction. Regulative devotional practice. Sadhana Bhakti begins with two basic activities, he says. Hearing and speaking about Krishna. Here Parikshit is hearing, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking. And highly recommended as leading to all kinds of success in spiritual life. So this slide immediately makes one thing clear, that spiritual life means there should be hearing and chanting, hearing and speaking about Krishna. Otherwise, there are so many things going on in the name of spiritual life. So therefore, we have to be very careful whether this is happening or not. Our Radha Kundu Prabhu, when he had come to Pune, Srila Prabhupada's disciple. So he was telling, he used to narrate many pastimes in Prabhupada's times, how there was regular hearing from Krishna book every night while the bhaktas would be taking milk, hot milk. And also, even when they would go for Sankirtan, they would carry Krishna book with them. On the way, they would read different pastimes of Krishna, killing demons and everything. So this was one of their most favorite things. And when they are in the temple, they had a practice of reciting the shlokas, memorizing Bhagavad Gita shlokas, so that we can quote them during our lecture. And another habit was to read the Bhagavad Gita, a complete chapter, one chapter. Just read through swiftly. And if you finished all 18 chapters, again go back. So that they call it as a one chapter a day. His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu has made a Chad Club now. Chad Club means one chapter a day of Bhagavad Gita. Those who read it. There are thousands of people in that Chad Club. So why one has to read over and over again? Reading the Bhagavad Gita over and over again, makes it very clear for us. When you are talking to people, you can immediately quote 9.10, Mayad Adyakshyan Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. You want to know how to engage in Krishna's service, 11.55. Mat Karma Krat Mat Paramo Mat Bhakta Sangha Varjitaha. So in this way you can quote the appropriate. You want to know why you should give donation to Krishna, or why you should offer land or anything facility. 12.10. You can go there. Please kindly read it. If somebody says, oh, we should be liberal in Krishna consciousness, you know, we don't have to be so fanatical about morning program. Go to 3.30. Krishna consciousness should be conducted as if a military discipline. He says, Prabhupada writes in the second line there. Immediately you can go there. Somebody says, you guys are talking about spiritual world and all these things, and I am not very sure that such a thing exists at all. Go immediately to 15.6, 15.5 and 6. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha and natad bhasite suryo na shashankona pavakaha. Somebody says, I think actually, you know, ultimately the jiva and God are one. Initially they are separate, but ultimately we become one. 15.7. Mamai vamsho jiva loke, isn't it? So this is what Prabhupada wanted devotees to be, like lawyers. Lawyers actually quote from Indian penal code. We quote from Krishna's pure sound vibration. So therefore, if you keep reading, this is one advantage of repeatedly reading Prabhupada's books and repeatedly using Prabhupada quotes and Krishlokas. And same with Bhagavatam, you can extend it. You want to say, you want to talk about how this material body is futile, useless. 10.10.10. Deva Sangitam Apyante Krimi Vidbhasma Sangitam. Every living being's body in this world simply turns into ashes, or, you know, sand, or it turns into krimi, worms. It says, it comes in the section of Nalakur Manigriva. Yeah. So in this way, whether it be Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, if one reads, keeps Prabhupada books as the basis and keeps on again and again churning, you will find in ISKCON many of the fixed up devotees, they have read Prabhupada's small books, medium books, bigger books. And then, you know, again you read again the same four books for Bhakti Shastri over and over. And read again doesn't mean just monotonically reading, monotonously reading it. But reading in such a way that we can absorb it, we can remember it. We will be effectively touched by the information. And we can cite it also. So in this way, in general, when we keep reading Prabhupada books, one of the things you find in Prabhupada books is you can easily see it is very Krishna-centered, Prabhupada's writings. Nobody can miss Krishna while reading Prabhupada purports. If somebody says, some or other in today's lecture, Prabhupada said so many things, there was no Krishna, you cannot say that. Because Krishna is pivotal in whether he gives lectures or whether he writes purport. Therefore, here he says, hearing and speaking about Krishna. And when we say Krishna, what does it mean? Is it only the person Krishna? Then he says, please read that.
Because Krishna is so attractive that hearing and chanting about him brings a person to the point of insatiable obsession with him, and ultimately to constant remembrance of one's forgotten living relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. So, yes, when you talk about hearing and chanting about Krishna, it is Krishna only, but there will be more explanation in the future slides. If you hear about Krishna from the purports and or when you hear classes about him, what is the result of that? Prolonged hearing about Krishna and his pastimes, it leads to insatiable obsession with him, he says. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that's what happened to Rukmini, who heard about Krishna regularly. When Bhishmaka would arrange some sabha classes every day in the Kaundinyapur, she has been hearing regularly, Shutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Shinbatamte, and she says that I got awakened in my love for you. And that is the result of continued hearing. What happened to the Dasiputra, who later on went on to become Narada? He simply said, Tatranvaham Krishna Katha Pragayatam Anugrahena Shrinavam. He says, therefore my love for Krishna got awakened. This is the result of sincerely hearing. anyone who hears faithfully, sincerely about Krishna, the result is the attraction for Krishna awakens. And also, once forgotten loving relationship with the Lord is re-established. There is one beautiful verse. It says that, Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyoginam no vitarat kalam varehi. Prithu Maharaj says in his prayer to Lord Vishnu, he says, varan vibhostad varadeshwarad buddha katam brinite guna vikriyatmanam yena arakanam apisanti dehinam tani shakaivalya pate vrinenacha na kama yena tatadapyaham kvachan na yatra yushmacharanam bujasavah mahattamant tarhadayan mukachyato vidatsvakarana yutameshame varehi. So in these two verses he says, I don't want any material enjoyments, my Lord. They are all available for even dogs and hogs also. And you are a Kaivalyapati. That doesn't mean I want Kaivalya from you. Kaivalya is useless for me. Why? Because if you go to Brahman, there is no katha going on there about you. Your name, form, qualities, pastimes are not being described there. It's useless for me going there. And then where do you want to go, my dear devotee? Lord Vishnu asked him. He said, I want to go to that sabha where people are glorifying your name, form, qualities and pastimes. And there the pure devotees, when they glorify you, the honey is dripping from their mouths mixed with your name, form, qualities and pastimes. And by doing oral reception, by hearing it to the ears, what happens? So he says that the third verse, he says, that's where he says this, Pritim punar vismrita tattva vartmana. The vismriti goes and smriti comes. Just like Arjuna says, you know, nashto moha smritir labdha tat prasadan maya achyuta. For Arjuna, he directly heard from Krishna. If somebody is hearing from an acharya, from a pure devotee and is hearing, then that hearing and hearing from Krishna, there is no difference. Prabhupada in fact says, if you read Bhagavad Gita, even today, those verses, your hearing can be as similar to hearing of Arjuna if you have Shraddha. Prabhupada says that. So then vismriti goes away. Nashto moha smritir labdha. We get back our loving relationship with the Lord, which is the greatest gift in spiritual life. If somebody feels very strongly connection with the Lord, and I am Krishna Das, I simply want to live to please Him, serve Him. So he has attained the good fortune in his life. So, yeah. So Vishwanath Chakra Thakur explains that.
Devotee with developed attachment to the Supreme Lord see Him as Atmanaha.
Yeah.
Their own favorite object of worship.
Like you see in the picture here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embracing Jagannath. He considers Jagannath his own and he's crying tears. And you see Madhvacharya holding Udupi Krishna. He considers Udupi Krishna his own. Yeah, you see Shripad Ramanujacharya revealing to Dhanurdas the beautiful form of Lord Ranganatha, whose lotus eyes, Kamala Nayanam, were revealed by Ramanuja to Dhanurdas. And in the picture above Ranganath's head side, you find Dhanurdas carrying an umbrella for the, Suvarnavalli, who was his wife. So beautiful lady, so he was holding an umbrella. But then he gave up that attachment to that attractive woman. And then they both became followers of pure devotee Ramanujacharya, isn't it? So in this way, Ramanuja is revealing the beauty of Ranganath to the world. So you'll find all these pure devotees whom I have drawn here, you know, they had different forms of the Lord, either Narayana or Rama or Krishna, or Krishna's various forms also, Jagannath and other forms. So they loved the Lord, they served the Lord, they experienced a strong relationship with the Lord and revealed the beauty of the Lord to the world also. They invited other people. You also come and take shelter of this Lord. I am taking shelter. You also take shelter. In this way, and you will also observe, some of them worshipped Him as an infant. Like you see our Madhvacharya is worshipping Him as a Balagopal, isn't it? Udupi Krishna. And some of them worship as an older child. Like for example, Madhavendra Puri was worshipping Gopal, who was a little more grown up boy, isn't it? Some worship him as a maturing youth, Kaishora form of Krishna, Radha Krishna, like that. Some worship him in a Balya Lila, in a Vatsalya Rasa. Some people worship him in Madhurya Rasa, some sampradayas. So in this way, in different sampradayas, acharyas have worshipped the deities and worshipped the Lord, awakened love for him, and they considered the Lord their own.
Because their taste for hearing about him is strong, such devotees eagerly drink what they hear as if it were the nectar of the immortal gods. Less advanced devotees may have little taste for drinking this nectar, but their practice of hearing and chanting, if done faithfully, will purify their hearts and gradually give them the taste.
Yeah, we as upcoming devotees, we do hearing and chanting for purifying our hearts. And great souls do hearing and chanting. While doing that, they experience ecstasy. Expanding ecstasy they feel. And they feel tremendous taste as if they have drunken honey or as if they have eaten gulab jamun. They jump like anything, isn't it? They feel ecstasy. Here you find this rare picture you might have seen probably. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting next to him. Both Chaitanya and Nityananda are keeping hand like this, and they are sitting next to each other, Nityananda and Chaitanya. This is actually Totagopina temple, where Gadadhar Pandit would lead the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. All other Vaishnavas are sitting around, and they are sitting together and listening to Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu would tell Gadadhar, when he would complete Dhruva Charita, Prahlad Charita, speak it again. It was so ecstatic. He would hear it 10 times, 20 times, 30 times repeatedly. Probably they didn't need any translation or purport or elaboration. If he reads from Bhagavatam, you know, the verses as it is Sanskrit, he would read. Mahaprabhu, you know, can speak commentation in Sanskrit itself. Naturally, they must have been conversing in Sanskrit with one another or Bengali with one another. So in this way, you are seeing him, seeing them all coming together and relishing the katha here. And they hear it as if it is nectar for the devatas. Because the devatas drink nectar. If their ayu was, life duration was 1,000 years, if they drank nectar, it will immediately be promoted to 10,000 years. Or if they had 10,000 years, it will become 1 lakh years. They would get extension of their life. Similarly, advanced devotees, they want to absorb the Krishna katha with great relish. And their taste is insatiable taste, like Parikshit Maharaj told Sukadeva Goswami, what are you saying about Kaliya? You're saying some Naga came into Yamuna and, you know, he was defeated by Krishna and driven away out of Vrindavan. Who is Kaliya? Where did he come from? Why did he come to Vrindavan? How did Krishna defeat him? And please tell me everything more elaborately. Don't try to cut it short. He said, please do not think that I have not drunken water or I have not eaten food, I have not slept for many days. He said, honestly speaking, your katha is giving me such amritam, nectar, that actually I don't feel a need for any other material food or water or anything. My hunger, thirst, everything is gone, he said. So Parikshit Maharaj was hearing with so much relish. That's what here it is said. That, and same thing you find, you know, whether it is Shaunakadi Rishis, Vayam Navitrupyama Uttama Shloka Vikrame Yata Shanvatam Rasa Jnanam Swadu Swadu Pade Pade. It is very relishable at every step, the katha that you are speaking to us. Vayam Navitrupyama, we are never satiated. We are never saturated by hearing, they said. Generally, nowadays people say don't speak beyond 40 minutes. You know, people's attention span is very short. You know, they will lose the track of the class and they may switch off their mind and all that. But actually, there are people, the advanced devotees, they have ability to hear for long, long hours. So therefore, he is saying that Vayamna Vitrupyama Uttama Shloka Vikrame Yata Shrinbatam, by hearing about him, Rasajnanam, Swadu Swadu Pade Pade, at every step it is Anandam Anandam Budivardhanam Prati Padam Purnamrita Swadam, like that. So in this way, both the speaker and the hearer are relishing. Like, for example, Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit, Variyane Shate Prashna Krita Loka Hitam Tripa. Atmavitsam Matapumsam Shotavyajyat Paraha is saying there, Varyaneshate Prashna, my dear king, your question itself is so glorious. You're asking what should be heard, what should be sung, what should be remembered, what should not be heard, what should not be sung, what should not be remembered, like that he asked Parikshit. Yata Shrutavyam, Kirtitavyam, like that he asked. And Shukadeva Goswami heard the question and became completely elated. He said, what a question you asked. Your question only deserves a gold medal. Such a beautiful question you asked. So therefore, it's a sincere question springing from the heart of the hearer. It's also a sign of the hearer's relish as well as the advancement of the hearer. Like Shaunaka, the rishis are hearing, but Shaunaka Rishi is himself very advanced. He had 88,000 sages as his disciples. So all he along with his disciples was sitting and hearing. So therefore, the taste for hearing becomes stronger as the devotees become advanced in their relationship with Krishna. Now, where to hear from? You may have a question. There are many sources of authorized Krishna Katha. The word authorized clearly shows that one should not hear anything from anywhere. One should only hear authorized Krishna Katha and hear and discuss it. Because there are so many sources nowadays which are giving you Krishna Katha. Some are authentic and some are not. And sometimes the commentary, like one devotee in those days, came and told me that Prabhuji, one of the brahmacharis has got a book, a bulky book of all Chaitanya Leela put in one place. Because some guys have published very nicely, you know. And he has given heading of the pastime and beautiful pastime with a picture. Just imagine. You want to spot out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, it takes time. Because first of all, you have to know it's in which section or which chapter. And then it's all in shlokas and purports. You read it, it takes long time. And then you have to extract the essence and then, you know, remember the pastime. Imagine somebody publishes a book where the title of the pastime is there. And very nicely, narration, big letters, and the beautiful, colorful picture also is there. So who will not want to have such a book, isn't it? It's like ready-made. It's like a pre-digested food for you, like for a Cadillac baby. And especially, it's very good for people who don't regularly read. If they want to give a lecture, there are some guys who are mostly doing many other things, and sometimes they want to give a lecture. They pick up such a book. And immediately they go to the index, capture the particular in a pastime. Today is Gundicha Mandir Mahasayan, cut. Immediately go to that page and then you quickly read through it, which is about 4 or 5 pages. And then you can go and speak a class. But the problem in that book was what? It was not an authentic book. It was written by one very famous author who was actually not properly situated Vaishnava. He had many things deviated from the Guru Parampara. So he himself had pulled out of the Guru Parampara. He was in Parampara before he came out and he had written the book. So in that book, there was a pastime that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only comes to Shantipur, he comes to Navadvip also. And then he meets Vishnupriya and then he gives his sandals to her. And Vishnupriya is very much thanking. She keeps it on her head and then bows down to him. And he says, since you were my wife before, I cannot meet you anymore now. I am a sannyasi, but don't worry, you know, you are my eternal associate in the Vaikuntha or whatever. Like that he blesses her and then he leaves. So this pastime looks very nice. And everybody, especially, you know, people will be very happy who wish to see that just like Mahaprabhu met Sachimata, if he also met Vishnupriya, it will be nice. But that pastime didn't happen at all. It's a concocted pastime, speculated pastime by those who feel a lot of sadness for Vishnupriya. So they have very beautifully cooked up that it's a fabricated pastime. And in that book, he has published it. So what will happen? Innocent devotees buy that book, colorful book with all the pastimes. It looks very nice. And in ISKCON, you tell, don't buy such books. They will not listen. They will say that these are ISKCON fanatics. They will say, they'll buy and keep it. Then what will happen? One day, they will tell the story in ISKCON, sitting on a Vyasasana. Then what happens? That becomes a, you know, story which everybody is floating. So, one time His Holiness Jayadutta Maharaj was asking, where did you get that story? Is it WhatsApp Purana? He was asking. So because in WhatsApp, people get many stories which they share on the Vyasas, and because that's one thing they regularly keep exchanging in WhatsApp, different things. They will say that, exactly don't know where is that story from. Still, I will tell you because it's very interesting, they will say. So therefore, here he is saying that the sources of authorized Krishna Katha. So most of the things that I speak, you know, Gopi is remembering, you know, Krishna's flute when he's going to forest. Such kinds of things I speak generally when I speak. Somebody catches, where you got it from? It's from Krishna book. Becomes very simple. Because, you know, you have Prabhupada's support. Somebody asked, how do you say Durga Devi's expansion of Subhadra? I immediately opened this Elevation to Krishna Consciousness book and I showed, see, it's here. Prabhuji, it's in such a small book of Prabhupada. I said, yes, it's there. It's a small book. There's a chapter, Heart Struggle for Happiness. So you will see in that small book. So if you're reading the Prabhupada books and you quote from there, immediately, like in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, when the living entity falls to the material world, first he is given a human body. And then he falls to animal species and then goes through 8.4 million species in case he commits many blunders like that. Prabhupada writes that. So somebody asked, Prabhupada, you told in the lecture, where is it? Immediately he quoted from Bhagavatam, purport. Becomes authentic, correct, no? So therefore, it is best to go for the authorized Krishna Katha. Read that first.
First, there are Krishna's names in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which contains everything of the spiritual nature.
Yeah, so that itself is also pure substance to hear. Here it's not very clear. You can come here. And then Krishna's own instructions on how to come back to him are available in the Bhagavad Gita. Then there is Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 25 chapters that Lord Krishna spoke to Uddhava. Very, very. So Bhagavad Gita is wonderful. Uddhava Gita is even more wonderful. It's more elaboration. In Bhagavad Gita, you get only 700 shlokas. But Uddhava Gita, you have 25 chapters. Actually, Uddhava Gita is a very solid source of information for devotees. If you want to know about deity worship, you can go there. You want to learn about Sankhya, want to learn about three gunas. All the question answers in spiritual life are beautifully given in Uddhava Gita, 11th canto. So there are 25 chapters. So it's very authentic information. Yeah. And in the same manner, in the other aspects of other Bhagavatam and other Puranas, also there are many descriptions about Lord's exchange with devotees. And also, Bhagavatam not only describes about the beauty of Krishna and his Krishna, but also his expansions and also Krishna's activities. And those of the avatars like Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha, and Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, all those things. And also the saintly character of his pure devotees like Ambarish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, Vidura, Kunti Maharani, Pandavas. So like that saintly character. So the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is you study about the Vaishnava qualities of the Vaishnava devotees on one hand. Then you study about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So pastimes of the Supreme Lord will charm your heart and attract you to the Lord. And the saintly qualities of the devotees will make us feel ashamed. They are exhibiting such amazing qualities. Like one time, Yudhishthira Maharaj was hearing from Narada. When Narada glorified, in two places you will find. One place, Narada is glorifying Prahlad. And Yudhishthira is feeling that, Prahlad is a great devotee. I am not a devotee at all. And then Narada is encouraging Yudhishthira, saying that, hey, you are also not less a devotee. You know, Krishna comes and lives in your palace and all the sages and saints in the forest, you know, they can't get his darshan. They come to your palace and they're making a queue to take darshan of Krishna here. That is your glory. And then he gave a boost of encouragement to him. In the same manner, when Parikshit was hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, he felt that, oh, Lord Krishna was born in Chandravamsh, in a Yadu dynasty he was born. Yadus are more fortunate and we Pandavas are not so fortunate. Then there, it is explained that, you know, although Lord was born in Yadava dynasty, he was more affectionate to Pandava dynasty. Like Arjuna, he personally rode the chariot for him. And for Yudhishthira Maharaj, he accepted the Agra Puja that Yudhishthira Maharaj offered. You know, and Lord came to Rajasoya Yajna. And Lord told Pandava, our Yudhishthira Maharaj, that I am also part of your family only. So I will also wash the feet of the saintly people who are coming for the function, you know. So he was washing the feet of all the sages and saints coming. See, for example, Devaki, Rohini, you know, she happened to be in Vrindavan. when they were celebrating the Uttan festival, sorry, Nandotsav festival. In Nandotsav festival, Rohini was in a separate room because her husband is not there. Her husband is Vasudev, and he is there in Mathura. But Yashoda, you know, Nanda Baba told Yashoda, call Rohini. So the Rohini was called. Then Nanda Baba and Yashoda together very happily presented her a very costly sari and jewelry on that day of Nandotsav. And then they both requested that, Rohini, please don't wear simple dress today. Everybody is wearing gorgeous dress and nice ornaments and everything in the occasion of function of celebration of Nandotsav and everything. And Rohini immediately accepted. And immediately she put on that attire, and then she became like one of the family members. And while Yashoda was busy with some of the guests who came, she was attending, Rohini was attending to the other guests, as if she was like the younger sister of Yashoda. And she's one of the family members. So now, just as Rohini identified with Yashoda's family, as if she's a part of her family, and Krishna and Balaram, both of them, they used to see like their own children, like that. Same manner, you find Krishna became part of the Pandavas family, and he's washing the feet of the sages because Krishna was thinking, I am assisting Yudhishthira Maharaj in his this thing, in a great this thing, his function, he's performing, isn't it? So you will find in this way, the Shukadeva Goswami told, although Lord appeared in Yadu dynasty, that's a glory of Yadu dynasty, but Pandava dynasty is even more glorious because Lord is very closely related to your family, to Yudhishthira Maharaj, to Arjuna, and to you also, he said. Lord actually saved you from the womb of your mother, by taking Agada and rotating and going round and round. Is it not intimate? You know, you don't find the Lord behaving like this as he behaved with the Pandavas, with the Yadus, although he was born there. Lord is more intimate with the Pandavas. Then Parikshit became encouraged also. Okay, Lord was not born here, still... the Lord, for example, many of us are born in India here. And like some of our spiritual masters are from the West. Now, they might have been part of another religion. We might have been part of another religion here. They might have been part of another climatic condition, another geographic location. But Krishna brought us together. You will find although now when they come, and they preach and they enter our hearts and lives, we feel closeness to them more than blood relatives also. You can see that. When one takes shelter of a special master, you can see that. So in this way, that's what happened with Krishna and the Pandavas. So in this way, when you study the Srimad Bhagavatam, you study about the saintly characters. In the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami depicts all the most confidential pastimes of Krishna with the covered boys and covered girls and everything, the cowards. And then there are many empowered followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who have written both poems, like Ami Yamuna Puline Kadamba Kanane. This is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Narottamdas Thakur is singing another song, Radha Krishna Pranamur Yugala Kishore. Now he is writing. So there are many songs like this, written by Vaishnava poets also on the Vraja Bhakti. Also books also. Like Rupa Goswami has written Padyavali, there is Ujjwal Nilamani, similarly Mukta Charita written by Runa Das Goswami. There are many books like that, which are all revealing the sublime secrets of Vraja Bhakti. So all these are authorized Krishna Katha, which are authorized by Srila Prabhupada in his purports also. In many places, like Prabhupada says, Krishna Bhavana Amritam by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Prabhupada in this way quotes in his purports. Prabhupada quotes and says that these are the books that a devotee is, after reading Prabhupada purports, one can refer to those books also.
These two basic practices, hearing and chanting, are the foundation of all further activities of devotion, remembering the Lord, doing living service for Him, and reviving one's eternal bond with Him in a unique personal mood.
Yeah. You see, we cannot actually remember unless we hear and glorify. It's not possible. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho. Then comes Smaranam. Like one boy asked Prabhupada in San Francisco on the day of installation of the deities, Swamiji, you are telling us that we should preach. How can we preach? We don't know so much knowledge like you are speaking. And Prabhupada said, therefore, Shrotavyaha, he said, want you to hear. And that hearing is not just a mechanical hearing or I have completed so many books. Some people say I have read Bhagavad Gita 10 times or whatever. Actually, it is not the amount of hours you have read or how amount of number of times you have read. What affected you by reading that book? What impact it had in your life? How did it change your behavior? How did it bring about a change of heart in you? What truth in that book has created a turning point in your life that you were headlong going in a wrong direction? And this book actually turned you to walk in the right direction, like what happened to Mrigari, what happened to Amogha. And there are many people who were headlong, like what happened to Ajamila. So therefore, that impact of the book on our lives is a very important factor. It has to impact us. So in this way, the remembering of the Lord actually happens by hearing and glorifying, speaking, hearing and speaking. So, and also doing loving service for Him. We can actually serve mechanically. It's very easy. You know, you go to many temples, you find there are young boys. Like in one of the temples, they told me, when they do Ratayatra or when they do some, Janmashtami festival and all, they just have to make one phone call to an organization and they will supply them 200 youngsters. All atta-katta, very strong fellows, they will come. Their hands are actually itching for some work. And they can actually erect pandals, you know, they can wash the plates, they can clean this thing, they can do karseva type of thing, work, you know, lift the bricks and everything. And ISKCON temple devotees are very happy that we get free. You just make a phone call. These guys come and do only you have to give them prasadam, which anyway we give everybody, isn't it? These guys come. So these guys are coming. It's very good. So when I heard it, I was telling them, oh, very nice that they are coming. But along with the prasad, there should also be some lecture also for them. No, they don't want to listen to a lecture. They just they are in want of some activity. Okay, they are doing some. So how much is their activity seva? Some kind of ajnata sukriti. Because they don't want to hear knowledge, nor do they want to specifically devotion service. But they go anywhere and everywhere, and if some work is there, they're ready to do. They're youngsters, they're eating well, and they're atta-katta, so they want some activity they're doing. So therefore, he's saying that our service will become loving service whenever knowledge is awakened. If knowledge is not awakened, it will only be a mechanical service producing some little bit of ajnata sukriti. Ajnata sukriti, if it is one count, you know, if you do loving devotion service, it'll be 1 lakh count. It'll have a tremendous bhakti sukriti input when it is done with awareness. Krishna says that in the dravya yajna tapo yajna yoga yajna tatapare swadhyaya jnana yajna ashchayate yahasam shriya vrataha. In that series of verses, he says that any yajna performed with awareness, that is like a difference of earth and sky. It's a very big difference. It's not the same. Krishna says that. So in order for us to be able to do the services of Krishna lovingly, therefore the foundation has to be established. Just like a building, you are erecting a very tall tower, but then you need a very solid foundation, which nobody is going to dig and check. You only have to make sure that you did it. Same way, our hearing and chanting should purify our heart in such a way that it produces remembrance of the Lord. You know, it should actually arise prayerful thoughts in our heart. If you are regularly reading, regularly hearing, it should arise feelings of remorse and repentance for our mistakes. It should also arise feelings of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. It should also arise feelings of Lord's goodness, Lord's purity, Lord's kindness, Lord's compassion, Lord's greatness, Lord's charmingness, and Lord's sportiveness, and His Lord's expertise. All these things should arise in the heart. If we just keep reading and hearing and speaking, privately, everybody can feel this. So regarding the Lord, such feelings should arise. Regarding devotees, such feelings should arise. So when such kinds of feelings are arising, that's what is called remembrance. Then the remembrance comes. Then in case such thoughts are arising, that means a person is a thinking person. He's not a dead person. He's a thinking devotee when he's studying. So then most amazing thing is when such thoughts arise, then when he again reads the purport, something where he stands out. It just comes out from the purport and it goes straight into our heart and it occupies a place and then it keeps on inspiring us in spiritual life. And that's where the real inspiration lies. Yeah. Read further in the current degraded age.
In the current degraded age, proper meditation and loving service are almost impossibly heroic accomplishments for most people to even hope to achieve. So intense hearing and chanting about Krishna are all the more important.
All the more important, yeah. Now somebody may say, why are you so much emphasizing on, you know, hearing and speaking about Krishna? Actually, you know, in the other ages, there were other processes also. Like you can go to the forest, do meditation. You can do Ashtanga Yoga. There were also other processes like Yajna. You know, if you do a Ratsu Yajna, actually I heard that thousands and thousands of people were involved in performing those Yajnas. Actually, sometimes the Yajnas would spread over several acres of land. Like in our Yajna, when we do, during initiation, you will see that four people sit in four corners of the hall and they read Bhagavatam. You have seen, no? Correct? You have seen that? When they would do Ratsu Yajna and all, it will spread over so many acres that in four corners they will put four pandas and Bhagavad Katha will be going on. For one corner, there will be one whole Katha, 7 day Katha will be going on. Can you imagine? So huge level operation. So in this way, in those times, there were also many other processes. That's one thing. Another thing, the climate, the ambience condition in the world was very conducive for spiritual progress. You know, people would never hear anything like killing of a cow or aborting of a child. Unheard of. Business people will fear to cheat others because Lord is watching. Their 12 sakshis are watching. And there was also Prabhupada says, one world, one king, one Sanatana Dharma. You know, and you know, ultimately everybody aligned under one state. World was like one state at that time. It was Rajyecha Avikalecha Nityam Virudham Mamatam Jahau. In that verse he says, Prabhupada says, Avikale actually means it was undivided, one singular kingdom for the whole world. So with the rules, the whole world was run in such a meticulous manner. It was very easy to keep law and order and everything. But now times have changed. Kali Yuga is actually a very degraded age. Mandasamanda Matiyo Mandabhagya Hyupadruta. Therefore, the only process we have to hold on to like a rope in our life. Imagine I have fallen into a well. The only rope which is dropped for me from the top is the hearing and chanting. If I hold on to that rope, you know, will when they take me out, I'll be saved. But if I don't do hearing and chanting, I will get lost only. Therefore, he is saying it intense hearing and chanting. Because if you do very mild hearing and chanting in the name of completing some sadhana card, some people read a few pages and they complete. Actually, if I didn't get any powerful point from the purport to touch my heart or to apply in my life or to get into a state of wonderment or eagerness to share the same with others, then the kind of reading we are doing, we are not gaining much nourishment. It's like you put a big plate of food into the belly and dududu, immediately it's gone. You don't have anything digesting in the body. Yeah.
Given all this, shouldn't those who want to be Krishna's devotees delve deeply into the nectar of his pastimes, giving up all inhibitions and other interests?
Yeah, which means all inhibitions means what? Sometimes devotees say that, hey, don't show some pure devotee syndrome. Some people say, what is pure devotee syndrome? Hey, he will always talk about Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He will talk about Vrindavan. He will always talk about book distribution, you know, Harinam Sankit. And all the time he is still living in the 1970s. Some people say, don't behave like a big pure devotee. Be realistic, be practical. The world has changed now. You know, try to learn to adjust with the world. There are some people who say like that. And also they say that it's not that you have to talk only about Krishna. Even Prabhupada warned us, don't become Sahajya and all. So if you go too much, you will become Sahajya. Therefore, you know, there are 100 other things people are talking nowadays. Many people actually don't talk straight from Gita Bhagavatam. They go to many other books, many other subjects. I don't want to even mention the names. But you know what I'm talking about. People are talking humpty number of things now. And those things are not reminding people of Krishna. They are, some people are actually meddling with Sanskrit words and explaining this word means this, that word means this. They have become too meticulous and scholarly type of explanation they are giving. This is one category. Another category is trying to bring some new stories from this Purana, that Purana, which nobody has heard, which may be emphasizing some meager, mundane value or mundane quality, which is not going to remind people of Krishna. This is another thing people keep doing also. So, and there are people who are talking things related to the modern day world, but they don't bring the matter to, Krishna at all. So therefore, people have inhibition in directly talking from the Bhagavatam and the Krishna book and things like that. And also here it says, other interest means what? Other than hearing and speaking, people are very busy with multiple activities. And they are not unable to get time for this. People are having interest in sending so many WhatsApp messages and receiving. People are talking about so many things, happenings of the world. Even today, if you see the corona-related news, people can talk so much about health. And even in a devotee community, we can be back and forth writing so many mails on health-related thing, yoga-related thing, pranayama-related thing. You can write about the eatables, what you should eat, what you should not eat, and what is healthy item, and how Ayurveda is better. There are so many mails going back and forth. So we may get diverted by so many other interests, and we may not get time for hearing and chanting. That's what he's saying, these two things, inhibitions and other interests. Go ahead.
Why some ISKCON devotees may wonder, did Srila Prabhupada and his guru before him apparently de-emphasize hearing and chanting Krishna Leela and focus instead on promoting the busy activities of preaching and organizing?
Yeah, the busy activity of preaching and organizing in our organization means nowadays many things have become like a huge business. It has become like a very business enterprise. Selling this commodity, selling that commodity. It began in a small way. Even in Prabhupada times, they were selling the spiritual sky incense. So devotees wanted to give that spiritual sky incense along with Prabhupada's books. And it went very well. Because you sell incense, when people give some donation, you give the book also along with that. So a lot of books were going like that. So that was good only. But then eventually devotees wanted to make jewelry. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, if you start making jewelry, too much money will come and you will become diverted. So you'll become diverted, your spiritual life will become diluted, and the result is you'll become deviated. So diverted, diluted, deviated. 3 Ds will happen. And it has happened in many, many places. Everything begins in a small way and gradually it grows. Deviations don't come overnight. It begins with dilution. That's the first step. Then by the dilution, gradually what happens? Then you get diverted by other unimportant or less important activities which preoccupy your mind and senses. That's the second diversion. And third is you get deviated from the original intention with which Founder Acharya began this movement, and that is forgotten. Eventually, the movement doesn't look anymore like the original movement started by the Founder Acharya. It has lost its soul. It has lost its soul. It has become dead, although it may appear very lively. So therefore, you find that, modern times, we can find people may become busy in activities of preaching and organizing without sufficiently hearing and chanting. Yeah, this doubt has led too many devotees to leave the company of Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission for supposedly greener pastures. See, this is a very great, great loss for ISKCON, because some devotees felt that in ISKCON there is too much management and administration, and we are not getting quality hearing from our preachers. And they invited Gaudiya Math, many of the preachers from India to abroad, and they started hearing. Now Gaudiya Math, what happens? They have ample of time that they may grow a beard, they may sit and listen for hours together during Chaturmas time and all that. So they have a lot of things to share, but they don't have opportunities. But ISKCON has abundant opportunities, but they don't have sufficient stuff to share many people. So because of this, Many of the, then Gaudiya Math started coming into ISKCON in many places abroad, and then they got initiated from Gaudiya Math, and those guys were asked to quit ISKCON. You are getting initiated from another organization, you go and stay with them. And for them, there is no proper facility to stay out because they are not into management and organization. These kind of practical problems came. That's what he's writing. This doubt has, and some fellows left ISKCON and went to Radhakund Babaji's. And Radhakund Babaji's, they have studied a lot because they don't do anything else. They don't go out preaching. They study a lot and they speak a lot. And they, some of them smoke BD also. Some of them have illicit connections. So some ISKCON devotees were not aware of it. They only heard the very powerful talks and got inspired. And they would go there. After say, 3-4 months, they hear and they even take initiation. Then they will know Babaji has a connection with somebody, an improper connection, and he has bad habits. And in this way, Nagarkana Ghataka, neither in ISKCON nor with Radhakund Babaji, they left everything and went back to Karmi life. It has happened like that. So he's saying this doubt has led too many devotees to leave the company of Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission for supposedly, therefore he uses the word supposedly. It's not a green pasture. It is supposedly green pastures. Probably fewer devotees have made this most unfortunate choice had they better understood the intentions of Srila Prabhupada and his predecessors. So what he is saying is Prabhupada and his predecessors like Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur have given us warning not to enter into Vraja Leela, you know, very whimsically, like a choir's fool, rather be on the side of caution and alertness. And therefore, they have given alertness and they have given, why Prabhupada has emphasized on organizing and preaching mission. He knows that most people joining ISKCON are passionate and ignorant, and they are very young and neophyte in spiritual life. So initially, if they get into all this Radha Krishna Leela and everything, they will get more confused and bewildered and do damage to themselves and others. So they have kept many activities to keep us busy and read the basics of the Krishna conscious philosophy. And then when we get purified to a sober state, and then we will be able to understand the Vraja Bhakti more nicely. So now the Srila Bhakti Chintamani introduction, these are the different topics which are going to come. And in the introduction, the meaning of Krishna consciousness is explained very nicely here. How it became ISKCON. Krishna consciousness is not God consciousness. So in the there was one devotee who had suggested Prabhupada that we can call it international society, but God consciousness. Prabhupada said, why do you call it God consciousness? People may not know who that God is. Ultimately, the supreme personality of God, it is Krishna. So Prabhupada insisted that he would like to have it Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, in case they don't know who Krishna is, let them come and ask us, we will tell them. Like that he said. So when you say Krishna consciousness, it accommodates both devotion to the countless expansions of Krishna, like Rama, Vishnu, Matsyakurma, Varaha, Narasingha, all of them are included in this. And the confidential essence of the teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, that is also included in this. So, confidential reason of the advent of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Actually, in once in a Brahma's day, you find when Krishna appears on the 28th millennium of the 8th Manu, which is almost once in a Brahma's day, means 840 crore years or so. In that Krishna appears once. And when Krishna appears, following Krishna that time, Lord Chaitanya appears in Kali Yuga. And that Chaitanya is Krishna only, who appears in the mood of Shrimati Radharani. Otherwise, instead of Lord Chaitanya appearing, there will be Gaur Narayan. And Gaur Narayan is actually Lord Narayana's form. Whereas Chaitanya is Krishna's form. So therefore, he's saying it's very, very rare, he's saying. They come to give more than just Yoga Dharma. And the confidential reason he has given for their advent is, you know, here you find through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raja Prem is more easy to understand. Because instead of coming as Krishna and the Gopas and the Gopis, like a covered community, and which often has created misunderstanding amongst the people, as Krishna is like a hero and all the Gopis are heroines. I mean, they're all like girls. Oftentimes people mess it up by imagining it to be mundane sense gratification, like what happens in the outside world, foolishly. Therefore, dressed as sadhus instead of covered people, the Lord and his devotees teach the world how to awaken the same Vraja Prem. So, Lord Chaitanya personally chanted Hare Krishna. and inundated the world with the ecstasies of perfection, the taste of four mellows of Raja. Why he is not saying five? Shantaras is not included in this, only the Dasya onwards, because Dasya onwards the service starts. And in Shantaras there is admiration. In Dasya there is service. In Sakya there is intimacy. In Vatsalya there is possessiveness. And in Madhurya, all these four included with the super intimacy type of the conjugal love. Huh? So in this way, all these four, that's a confidential reason. Yeah. So in the spiritual world, all these four mellows are practiced. Hmm? So for us, those who are neophyte devotees, for them, Lord Chaitanya first said how you should begin practicing Krishna consciousness. What is the meaning of Krishna consciousness for us when we begin? He said, give up Kaitava Dharma, he said, and engage in proper devotion service. What is Kaitava Dharma? Worshipping different demigods to begin with. And Prabhupada gives a beautiful example. Recently, I heard in his lecture, he says, somebody goes to meet the Guru. And then, instead of bowing down to the feet of Guru and touching his feet, somebody touches the head of the Guru. Guru, please give me your mercy. Like that, he's touching the head. And then Prabhupada says, that is avidhi purvakam, he says. It will become offensive. How can I touch the head of Guru? Are you blessing Guru? Huh? You are supposed to bow down and touch his feet. That is proper. Touching head is not proper, Prabhupada says. In the same manner, worshipping demigods is like touching the head of the Lord. So it's not proper, Prabhupada says. It's avidhi purvakam. Because you are actually rejecting the Supreme Lord and you are going to the demigods in order to get a desire fulfilled in an illegal, illicit way. Just like, for example, if there is a mitai ka dukan, mitai shop right opposite your school, like I used to be a small kid, opposite our school when I was in second standard or so, you know, they used to sell one pink color mitai. And it used to be very sweet. It's like square. So all the children would rush there to buy that. But the problem is it would be surrounded by flies. My mother would tell me, you should never eat that. It's very bad. It will cause you fever and infection. No good. You should go to a shop and buy something inside this thing. Bottle kept it closed. But I would say, no, they are more costly. This is only 20 paise. And that chocolate in the shop is 1 rupee. She would say, no, even if it is 1 rupee you buy, I will give you money. But don't eat this one. So Krishna is like that. Krishna is like our mother. He says, even if you have to pay a more heavy price for the devotion service, Shuddha Gise Banayho Laddu, even if it is 25 rupees, no problem. Take 25, you buy and eat that. Yeah? And don't go for this cheap one, which is really available and which may be tasty, but surrounded by flies. Similarly, demigods give you, like the shopkeeper. Shopkeeper is not going to care about your health. You give him money, he will give you. So demigods are also like that. You do puja for them, they will give you. Like Ravana wanted golden Lanka, Shiva gave. And Ravana destroyed himself with that. Bhasmasura destroyed himself with that. In this way, the demigods give you whatever you want, but Krishna gives you need. So therefore, going to demigods is Kaitava Dharma. The moksha is called Kaitava Pradhan. Amongst all the different Kaitava Dharmas, Kaitava Pradhan is moksha. Why? It's a supreme cheating. Supreme form of cheating. It's actually working hard, performing all kinds of tapasya. It appears that they are very renounced fellows, but they are most envious fellows of Krishna. Why? Because they know that in the material world you have to suffer. They want to go to Brahma Jyoti. They want to avoid suffering also and not surrender to Krishna also. Therefore, it's called Kaitava Pradhan. Scientists do the same thing. Atheistic scientists, they want to make this world a comfortable place without surrendering to the Lord. You will see that. So, these are all deceitful behavior. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that we have to give up being a Dharmadvaji. Dharmadvaji also means a pretender who pretends like a religious person who is not religious at all, who has some ulterior motives of some making some money through somebody. He poses like a religionist. Or he has some bad, ill intentions, like Ravana wore the dress of a mendicant and took away Sita. Or Indra wore the dress of a mendicant and stole away the horse. These are all examples of deceitful religion. So in the modern times also, there are so many people speaking all kinds of rubbish, bluffing stuff, which doesn't talk an iota of the true religion of love of God. Actually, loving God is the ultimate goal of life. People are teaching people how to love the society, how to love the family, how to love the dog, how to love this, how to love that, except loving God. So therefore, this is the very first step for any spiritualist. Give up deceitful religion. Give up the dharma projita kaitavatra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayo anmulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Parairishwaraha Sadyo Hridiya Varudyate Trakadvihi Susru Subhistakshanat. So this verse says this, Dharma Prajjita Kaitavatra Paramo, the very first thing Bhagavatam does, it kicks out all, materialistic religions. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says six type of materialists. He says, those who have neither faith in God nor in morality. Then he says, second category, they have no faith in God, but they have faith in morality. And the third category, they have both faith in God also they have. They have faith in morality, but their faith in morality is more than their faith in God. Whenever it comes to compromise, they will compromise God and they will put more faith in morality. That's the third category. All these are materialists. And the fourth category is Dharmadvaji, pretenders, cheaters. And the fifth category is impersonalists. Sixth category is demigod worshippers. So all this is calling them as materialists. So one should avoid the company of the six type of materialists. And we ourselves should not be one of them. We are even trying to avoid them, so we should not be one of them also. So, and then when purified, then the neophytes could, by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, Maha mantra, develop attachment for Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, and then spontaneously serve the Lord. That is step two. So then we can hear that. Therefore, Prabhupada was a little reserved in emphasizing on this point. But he will quote many, many letters of Prabhupada. You will see where Prabhupada emphasizes on hearing and chanting Krishna's pastimes. Because especially for those who have already given up Kaitava Dharma. If somebody has given up Kaitava Dharma and they are not progressing to step number two, then they are actually stranded. To serve with spontaneous devotion means to cultivate a mood of love similar to the Vajvasis. There are two steps. Spontaneous means like Raganuga. In that, there is a Vaidhi, there is Raganuga. We should begin with Vaidhi, but we should not remain stuck in Vaidhi. We have to come to the Raganuga platform, following in the footsteps of the Vrajabhasis. That's the point he is making. The conclusion is, to be Krishna conscious then means to qualify oneself for spontaneous devotion in one of the four millers of Vraja, as exemplified by Krishna's eternal companions, Vrajabhasis. So three important points are here. Krishna consciousness means we should cultivate spontaneous devotion. I explained about it in one of the recent lectures about it. For example, a Maharaja comes to the station or the airport. Manager arranges four devotees to go, to bring him. And they agree to go. Sometimes one of them may say, Prabhuji, you know, I have to prepare for a class in the afternoon. You know, should I really need to go now? And he may say, manager may say, Prabhuji, there's no one else available. Then he'll say, okay, Prabhuji. Then he may be taking his book, notebook, pen. In the car he is preparing. If the train is half an hour late, he's very happy. There also he can sit in the waiting room and prepare. And the Maharaj comes. So he keeps his bag, book, everything inside. Hari Bol is dancing for 2 minutes. When Maharaj is put in the car, he sits behind and starts preparation again. So that means he went to airport or the station not to receive Maharaj, but his focus was all, you know, getting ready with his own preparation of the lecture or something like that. He did it as a duty, isn't it? On the other hand, there are devotees you will find, they say, oh, Prabhu, that Maharaj is coming. You know, Prabhu, is it all right if I can also be included to, you know, go for the station? You know, whenever the car is going, please inform me, Prabhuji, I also want to go. So this devotee goes to the waiting room and gets the best of the garland, you know, for Maharaj. And then he knows about the program schedule of Maharaj and makes a schedule print out so he can show it to Maharaj. And then he also has made an introduction, and then he shows Maharaj, Maharaj, this is the introduction we're planning to give about you. Do you want to refine it or something? Anything add to this or anything? And then when Maharaj comes in the airport, immediately goes and picks up his luggage. He wants to do some seva to him. And then when he comes to temple, he tells guest to Ashwin department, Prabhuji, can I be given some service for Maharaj? Can I wash his clothes? You know, can I cook prasad for him? Can I serve him? So this is called spontaneous. Very simple. I gave you a very simple example just now. Spontaneous means just comes from inside. There is no officially announced thing. And Vaidhi means duty. Like we know that how our 16 rounds goes, everybody knows. You know, it's sometimes it's terrible. One thing, somehow or other, I have to complete. There are people who are chanting Hare Krishna and suddenly some phone call comes or somebody has come and they keep it like this. And then after the talk is over, then again they take and continue. So one devotee asked, hey, what is this? You are leaving the mala in between talking and then again continuing. He said, Prabhuji, half mala is over. How can I lose it? You know, otherwise it will be a loss, no? That's what I'm keeping. So even half mala extra, we are not ready to chant for Krishna, sometimes. So actually, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we should not get up in between when we are chanting four rounds. If you want to talk or do anything, four rounds is called one kanti, he says. You complete that and then you can talk or do anything. But actually in ISKCON generally, we do one round. One round is complete, after that we do something and come. But why he says this four rounds? Because in this four rounds when we do at a stretch, it builds some energy, spiritual energy. You can hear well. If you hear nicely and attentively chant, it builds some energy. And then in case you need to take a break for drinking water or something. So therefore he says, to be Krishna conscious means we need spontaneous devotion. Duty will not do. Duty is good in the beginning. But eventually it has to spring from the heart. I want to serve Krishna. I want to serve Guru. That feeling should come from within us. And then serve in what way? One of the four mellows. That means a devotee should evolve in spiritual life to a point of Purna Vikasit Chetana, we say, no? You should want to serve Krishna as a servant of Krishna, or friend of Krishna, or parent. Parent means doesn't mean you become Yashoda Ananda. You become assistant to Yashoda Ananda. Or in conjugal rasa. And that strong connection has to come. As exemplified by Vraja Bhakti. So three things. Raga, and another one is rasa and Vraja. These three words are used here. That means we should serve with raga, with attachment. And we should connect with one of the four rasas. And we have to serve in the mood of Vraja, Basis. Because this understanding is confidential, Srila Prabhupada rarely spoke of it in the public and wrote about it only sparingly in his books. Yet, because it is the essence of Krishna consciousness, His Divine Grace did talk about it. He did talk about it. He did write about it and did expect that thoughtful devotees to understand and carefully pursue it. Like Prabhupada writes about Leela Smarana in the when gopis are meditating on Krishna's flute when Krishna goes to forest. There he writes that devotee should meditate like this. The question comes, then why Prabhupada rarely spoke of it? Because this understanding is confidential, therefore Prabhupada rarely spoke of it or spoke it in public. Yet because it is the essence of Krishna consciousness, he did talk about it, write about it, yeah. In 1974, Prabhupada brought the disciples here to Vrindavan in the major first international ISKCON festival. He encouraged them to reflect on and aspire for this perfection. That is for our own ISKCON devotees, he told them. He also warned that such a confidential quest, the goal of which is suitable for Paramahamsas, must be approached with great caution and reverence. Just like I remember, when we go to Radhakunda, you all know that, you know, once Prabhupada saw the devotees playing in the water, splashing water. Prabhupada said, hey, this is liquid prema of Radharani. You know, what do you guys are doing? And therefore, now many devotees don't take bath in the Radhakunda. We had gone for Yatra, one Yatra, my spiritual master also. I told everybody not to take bath. They didn't take bath. Then another time they took bath, devotees. So when is it allowed, when is it not allowed, we may not know. But whatever our superior tells, we should do. But the point why I am telling you, Prabhupada wanted them to relish Krishna Katha, Krishna Leela, but not become like a choir spool, or whimsical, or try to read things which is not within our adhikar. So therefore, you will find both Prabhupada encouraging us to take advantage of the Krishna Leela. At the same time, he has presented a word of caution also and reverence. Yeah. The first steps in our quest for Vraja Bhakti, he said, what we should do? Understanding Krishna and his Bhakti Yoga by studying the first 9 cantos, because it talks about, you know, Sarga, Visarga, Sthana, Poshana, Uti, all those 9 items. That when that initial study is complete, then our hearts are purified. Then devotees could then hear the Krishna's pastimes in 10th canto and develop attraction for the service of his associates. So now some people say that I have completed 9 cantos, but I don't remember anything. Then what to do? Therefore, our study should be, therefore we write test. Like I remember when I was studying 2 years in Govardhaneka village, every day that chapter we will practically digest the whole chapter. You know what are the main important verses, shloka memorization, as well as some of the golden purports. We have underlined, we have studied nicely. Because when you go to the test, it's a closed book test. It's not an open book test. Next day you have to give a 1 hour test or so. So 3 hours we would attend the class, morning 10 to 1. And post lunch, then 3 to 6 we would study. 3 hours of attending class, 3 hours of studying, next 1 hour of test next day. So when you promptly do like this, then we have to remember the vital points from the purports of Prabhupada, you know, and the vital shlokas and everything. So if you study well, then the 9 cantos will be well digested. It should not be a casual attempt. Casual attempt in studying Prabhupada books is like taking a lens and shaking it. You will not get the focal point. You can't burn a paper or cotton. But if you really want to burn a paper or cotton, similarly you want to purify your heart, then the hearing should be a very focused hearing. Like in the early morning hours, one can study, underline, make some notes, or, you know, we can also highlight vital points that we learned. And also, devotee should write or speak also. Like I do japa talk every day, I do. Why? Because you are learning some points, and then you contemplate on it, and then you speak it to somebody. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, if nobody is there, speak to the four walls. Now I speak in the four walls only now. We don't go out anywhere. Whether the people on the other side have slept off or awake, God knows. But nothing wrong, even if there is no camera in front of us, we can just keep speaking because Krishna is listening, surely. So in this way, we have to actually read, we have to write, we have to repeat 3 hours. We have to read, write and repeat and reflect also. That's the fourth R. So when we do these things, then only the message of Bhagavatam will be digested. Following the footsteps of Raghunath, devotees could finally hear the Krishna's pastimes with gopis without mistaking such leelas for mundane romantic affairs. Once that awakening of love for Krishna becomes very deep-rooted and the upadis are gradually melting away, the material upadis are melting away, Bhagavatam has the power to dissolve our subtle body. You will have the gross body and inside you are the soul, that's all. It's no subtle body. How wonderful it is. Because when subtle body is dissolved, that is Kapila says that. So when subtle body is dissolved, then what happens? The soul is soul conscious, Krishna conscious completely. And the subtle bodily problems of the mind don't hurt a person. Because the mind is a big non-devotee. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, it creates havoc of sukha, dukkha, mana, pamana and all these things, dualities. A devotee is able to surpass the dualities of the mind by absorbing in Bhagavatam. Yet because it is the essence of Krishna consciousness, the divine grace did talk about it. See, Prabhupada is saying here, yes, this is my request. You have come to Vrindavan, try to understand what is Vrindavan Dham, what is Radha Krishna, but very cautiously, very carefully, go through the Panchatattva. Gradually you'll be able to understand. That's the highest perfection. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy that Aradhya Vastu, the worshipable Lord is Krishna, and he is worshipable. His Dham is also worshipable. Aradhyo Bhagavan Prajeshataniya Staddhama Vrindavanam Ramyakachidupasana Prajavadu Vargenava Kalpitaha Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatra Dharana Paraha. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. Then we will be favored by the grace of Krishna to understand him and his pastimes with Radharani. This topic is elaborately explained in Lord Chaitanya's talks with Ramananda Rai. In the last several days, I have been speaking on this Ramananda Rai Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conversation very elaborately. Almost, I think we must have had 12 to 15 sections, 12 to 15 sittings. This whole chapter, we completed 8 chapter of Madhya Leela. Madhya Leela 8 chapter, very thoroughly we discussed it. Gradually, we went with main themes because this chapter, if we lay a solid foundation of this Krishna-Gopi relationship, one day we had on Gopi's love for Krishna. Another day we had on Radharani's love for Krishna. And we had on Krishna Tattva, Radha Tattva. One class we had. So when we nicely understand it based on the Acharyas, then we are safe to advance further. So Shri Swarup Damodar Goswami praises Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for revealing the secret. You know the famous verse. Anarpitacharyam chirat karunayadavatirna kalau samarpayitum unnatojvalarasam svabhaktim shriyam. Hari purata sundara dyutik kadam basandi pitaha sada hridaya kandare swarato vashyachinandanaha. His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was explaining it so beautifully. He was telling that just sometimes the elephant is running away from a lion and enters into your cave. But the lion also goes into the cave and knocks the elephant down and drags him out of the cave and kills him. Similarly, our anarthas are compared to a big black elephant which has entered into our hearts and running away from Lord Chaitanya, who is like a lion. But Lord Chaitanya lion enters our heart and knocks down the anartha elephant and drags him out completely, freeing our gufa, our heart of all the anarthas. And then not only that, and in that heart, what is he offering? Unnata ujjvala rasam, the shining jewel of Radha Krishna bhakti, the Madhurya bhakti, he awards it to those who become his followers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this bhakti of Radha Krishna is not awarded for a long period of time. It's forgotten, but Lord Chaitanya brought it, he lived it, and he taught it to others also. To clarify even further the meaning of the mellow of conjugal love, Unnata Ujjvala Rasa, Srila Prabhupada describes it as a perfection of becoming a confidential maid servant of Srimati Radharani. See, here he writes in the purport of Upadeshamrita, such perfection is indeed the most exalted method of devotion service for devotees eager to return to Goloka Vrindavan. The process of achieving this goal is to reside either physically or mentally in Vrindavan, preferably at Radhakund, to take shelter of Sri Radha's confidential maidservants and under their direction to engage constantly in her loving service. Prabhupada writes this. That means he says that either reside physically or mentally in Vrindavan, which means absorb your consciousness in Vrindavan attitude, mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis, who are serving Krishna. And in Vrindavan, the best place is Govardhan. And in Govardhan, the best place is Radhakund. Like that it says. And then, okay, residing there, what should one do? Take shelter of the gopis who are assisting Radharani. And in the shelter of the gopis, just like our Jiva Goswami engaged Dukhi Krishna Das in sweeping the Seva Kunj regularly. And by doing that, he got the darshan of Lalita Vishaka, and then they took him to Radharani. He got darshan of Radharani. So one will become a maid servant of Radharani ultimately. In time, the devotees thus absorbed, give up their bodies and return to the spiritual world. There they serve Sri Radha just as they had done in their meditation on the bank of Radhakund during their lifetime. Like that he says. Yeah, this is taking shelter of Radharani's feet, and this is Radhakund, which is liquid prema of Srimati Radharani. To clarify even further the meaning of the mellow conjugal love, so Prabhupada goes on to say, the conclusion is that to live on the bank of Radhakund, to bathe there daily, constitute the highest perfection of devotional service. It is a difficult position to attain, even for great sages and devotees like Narada also. Narada becomes Naradi Gopi. Even Shiva also takes a bath and then becomes Gopeshwar Mahadev. That there is no limit to the glory of Radhakund. By serving Radhakund, one can get the opportunity to become an assistant of Radharani, he says. Ye lila amrita vine kaya yadi anna pane tabe bhakte durlaba durbala jivana. Yara yaka bindu pane utfullita tanumane hase gaya karaya nartana. Men become strong and stout by eating sufficient grains, but the devotee who simply eats ordinary grains but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna gradually becomes weak and falls down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to bloom and he begins to laugh, sing and dance. See, we may be talking so much about anartha nivritti and so much about don't do this, don't do that. That's not enough. It may bring us to the point of neutrality or zero, zero, zero. But if one gets one drop of, Yashoda's love for Krishna and covered boy's love for Krishna that affects us, influences us positively, and then eventually we will come to the platform understanding Krishna and the gopis relationship. So this way he says that then his body, mind, soul, everything is blooming. And he begins to laugh and dance like you see Gauranitai, how they are dancing. Yeah, this is a famous one. Prabhupada said all the devotees connected to Krishna's movement must read all the books that have been translated like C.C. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and other books. Otherwise, they will simply eat, sleep and fall down. Very famous letter, Prabhupada. So in this way, Prabhupada warned us that if we don't do hearing and speaking, we will eat, sleep and fall down. Especially this lockdown period is a period. It's up to the individual's choice for how we want to spend our time. If we very attentively read, hear and speak and keep ourselves blissfully situated, we are fortunate. Otherwise, you know, if you are in an eating program or a sleeping program, it's very deadly. Eventually, we will get diluted, diverted and, deviated and destroyed, isn't it? So, therefore, one should protect oneself. But the beauty of Bhakti Yoga is it's never destroyed. Svalpam avapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayate se. But it can become covered over for lifetimes if you are not careful. As a summary, by faithfully assimilating the and following Srila Prabhupada's teachings, devotees will naturally develop spontaneous attachment to Krishna. In time, the devotees mature spontaneous attachment will inspire Krishna to reveal their spiritual identity, Siddha Deha. Right now we have Sadhana Deha, we will get Siddha Deha. And the loving devotion by which to purchase him, to purchase Prema. So when Siddha Deha comes, then Rasa with Krishna will be awakened. Then Prema will be purchased. And with Prema dominating our heart, we can exchange Rasa with Krishna. Thus, under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, members of ISKCON who follow Prabhupada's Vani strictly will unquestionably return back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. It's a little late. Is there other questions? Two questions are here. Quickly, I'll answer. Actually, how to... This one, okay. He's saying if heart is no, this has gone. Here it's one minute. Correct. Here it's thank you. Okay, if heart is not pure enough to engage in transforming and deep hearing, as you told, how should one proceed towards such a hearing? Then you should identify a devotee of your choice, whom you are very inspired by, devotee who is practicing with great ecstasy and enlivenment. Identify a devotee, go and sit with him and find out the method of his study. Studying with such a devotee, take time along with the devotee. You will eventually learn it. It's a method of contemplative and reflective reading. One should do that. Then it will actually deeply touch us. And then second question, you said that when one goes to Guru, one should not touch his head. Similarly, worshipping demigods like touching the head of the Lord. Prabhupada says that. Can you explain how demigods are compared to head of the Lord? Actually, Prabhupada says that in his lecture I heard morning when I was hearing. So, demigods are compared to shoulders of the Lord. Bhagavo lokapalanam saranganam padambujam. That is in Bhagavatam only. Why? The lokapalas are sitting on the shoulder of the Lord. Like our Yamaraj, Kubera, no, Indra, Varuna. These are prominent demigods, Lokapalas. So they are all sitting on the shoulder of the Lord and they are managing and administrating the affairs of the universe because Kshatriyas are shoulder, no? They are like Kshatriyas, they are managing the universe. And where are the pure devotees of Krishna? They are sitting at the lotus feet of Krishna. Saranganam Padam, they are like the bumblebees who are drinking the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. So if you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, you will find the pure devotees also there already. So you will get devotees and Krishna's lotus feet, both you get. Otherwise, you try to worship the demigods, then you compete with the demigods like Indra, who are sitting on the shoulder of the Lord by putting your hand on the top. Then the result is, we will unnecessarily twist Indra's ego and he will send some apsara and pull our leg also. So therefore, one should fall at the feet of Krishna and take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That's a beautiful verse. Nityam nirikshamananam yadapidvaraka aukasam napitrupyanti hidrisha shiyo damangam achyutam shiyo nivaso yasya uraha panapatram mukam drisham bahabo lokapalanam saranganam padam bujam. That's a beautiful verse. It comes in the first canto, 11th chapter. First canto, 11th chapter in Krishna in Dwaraka. I think. Thank you. I've answered the question, I think. Shri Prabhupada ki, Prabhupada Vrindaki. Thank you very much.